WVW Broadcast Network and The New American are pleased to present The New American TV. This broadcast is dedicated to bringing you the truth behind the news.
Welcome to The New American TV, where we bring you the truth behind the news. Today is Wednesday, June 21st, and I'm your host, Paul Dragoo. How would you feel if surveyors showed up unannounced one morning and began digging up your property and destroying your crops without your permission? That's what happened yesterday to South Dakota farmer Jared Bosley, a fourth-generation family farmer in Brown County. The surveyors were accompanied by an armed sheriff's deputy who is there not to protect Bosley's God-given property rights, but to make sure he doesn't come near the surveyors who, again, were on his property. Eyewitnesses told the New American that the deputy was there to ensure that Bosley kept 300 feet away from the crew. This is happening today in America. This was no ordinary topographical survey they were conducting. Crews pulled a huge tracked rig onto his growing soybean fields and began digging 90 feet below the surface in multiple locations. The survey is a preliminary step to laying a carbon capture pipeline that Summit Carbon Solutions has planned throughout the Corn Belt. Summit, which receives loads of financial backing and government credits, intends to run this pipeline in four additional states: Minnesota, North Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa. And Summit is one of multiple carbon capture pipeline companies operating in the United States. The pipeline is supposed to shuttle carbon dioxide captured from ethanol plants to underground sequestration in North Dakota. The South Dakota Public Utilities Commission has not approved the pipeline yet, but state law allows companies with open applications to the Public Utilities Commission to conduct surveys without landowners' permission. Farmers are challenging the constitutionality of that law, but in April, a judge ruled that the surveys can continue. On May 3rd, two surveyors showed up on the Bosley farm while Jared was miles away in a field planting alfalfa. His wife found them on their property and called her husband, who said the sheriff needed to get involved. Later, Summit accused him of threatening to shoot at surveyors and charged him with contempt of court for obstructing their work. A judge threw out the charges, but he warned all the landowners who showed up that day and supported Bosley's that anyone who interfered with the surveyors would be held in contempt. South Dakota property owners have created the sdpropertyrights.com webpage that includes a petition asking the governor and state legislators to defend them against these encroachments on their basic God-given and constitutionally protected rights. Anyone can sign it. You don't have to be a resident of South Dakota. That's because this is an issue that affects all of us, as Bosley told Brandon House.
If it's not in your backyard or your house right now, it sure could be. We let eminent domain go for private companies. That's nothing with a public use. And it's the carbon farce, just like she said. There's no science. I don't know why anybody thinks it's a good idea to bury plant food.
Join me to discuss one of the most important battles in America today is someone who's been organizing across the Midwest against the carbon capture pipeline. Tammy Kobza is also the John Birch Society field coordinator out of Iowa. Welcome, Tammy.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Tammy, you have been involved knee deep in this for a large portion of since this has been happening. It's been happening for around 2 years, and you've been involved in it for at least a year, right? Even more than that, organizing and whatnot. Have you seen up to this point anything like this happen? That being, has anyone actually stepped on property of people who have never consented, never signed an easement, never gave any permission for any of this to happen?
Not with the machinery like this. We have known that land agents have been harassing these farm owners and that, but not with the large equipment and then just taking, you know, liberty to drill like they did.
Yeah,
we've not seen that.
This is astounding. You've been in touch with Jared as well and others in South Dakota. What is the reaction to what's happening over there right now?
You know, they've picked on some South Dakota farmers. I don't think these companies realize the commitment and the integrity that these farmers, these landowners have. to the land, to handing it to their future generations, and they all know it's a scam. There's no such thing as man-made global warming. All of them know that, like what Jared said. Their reaction was fear, understandably. Mm-hmm. It is intimidating, you know, frustration with elected leaders that should have been at the helm protecting them, but they won't. And that's a hard reality that they're having to understand. But also, I would say the end result is more determination to protect their land through, you know, they do not want anything bad to happen. They simply want these companies to be stopped. So they do not want anything physical to happen. They know that actually these companies maybe are trying to goad them into, you know, extreme measures. And these are level-headed people of integrity, and they just simply want it stopped. So yeah, it probably did serve to intimidate the farmers some, but when the dust settles and cool heads reign, which I believe they will, these farmers are going to do the right thing. We are getting together in Fort Dodge, Iowa, July 8th. We're inviting people all over the Midwest states for a huge event. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're going to be there. So it was frightening.
I bet. I mean, to see someone just show up on your property who you've made clear that you do not consent to this, imagine that happening. Someone just coming in your apartment, in your house, and that this is really scary. What does Jared Bosley plan on doing going forward as a result of this?
You know, I'm sure that he's consulting with his attorney and fellow landowners. This surveying, like you said earlier, according to the law, they can do that sort of thing. What Jared, I think, did mention is that they put all these Summit vehicles around the section, around his property, as a show of force. Don't anyone else try to come across us. So I'm sure that he's going to be talking with attorneys as far as, mm-hmm. but I do not know what his next line of action will be.
We're going to have to get him on the show. Now, going back to something that you had said, cool heads need to prevail here. We know, mm-hmm. I heard one caller into Brandon House yesterday who was basically saying, hey, if not now, you know, the time to pick up firearms and whatnot, please emphasize why it's so important. Because in a way, this is like you said, they want to goad this out of it, because if they do, then they're more likely to get their way. Please emphasize how important it is that cooler heads prevail right now and you keep the guns on the gun rack.
Absolutely, Paul. And this is the power of what JBS has been trying to teach people for years. We know the globalists use this pincher effect where they stir up, you know, people on the ground to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do, so that they can then have absolute chaos and anarchy reigning on, you know, in the land. And so then they come in as, quote, the saviors, and that leads to full tyranny, where, citizens are going, help us, you know, help us do something. And that is exactly their goal. And we have the Constitution, and we must expect our leaders to uphold it, private property rights. We must get people to understand the communist plank can be summed up, I think Karl Marx said that, in one sentence: the abolition of private property.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, this is why we need to educate people that they want us to pull up arms. And here's the harsh reality. If they did that, we would all be in major trouble. And if they knew the history of what the Russians, what they did, the Bolshevik Revolution, they would know that they came after the farmers.
They came after property owners, absolutely.
They did. And it's like communism is starting to reign over here. But we still do have our Constitution, and we still do have Americans that have some sense that we're supposed to live a different life in yeah. America. Because of our God-given rights, it's probably, we're worshiping what? The creation rather than the creator? Maybe that's another answer to the question.
Well, and so let's talk about that with the few minutes that we have left. If not now to take up arms, what do we do? You're organizing. The JBS is helping to organize on the ground, and we've been doing this for some time, and we've been seeing results. Kind of fill us in. Give us hope. Let us know what the answer is.
Well, what you guys are doing is invaluable. We need to get more people involved, and so that's what we're doing. These incidences can serve as an opportunity to say, please go to jbs.org, join, get in. Local politics is local. Get locally involved. Understand your county commissioners and a sheriff who understands his full constitutional authority is essential. Get involved locally. You don't have to solve the Ukraine-Russia problem. Be in your own community and be involved. And there are plenty of, if you go to jbs.org, you're going to find plenty of contacts, of ways to get, connected. There, I'm sure there are other people too that are working on this, but reach out to people because we're waking up.
Yeah. And that's what you guys have been doing, right? Is first of you've been helping raise awareness. There's a lot of people who don't know what's happening. And furthermore, even if they do, a lot of them don't know what's behind this. So one of the things you've been doing, especially in Iowa where you live, is you've been helping raise awareness about these pipelines, what's behind them, the pseudoscience, the fake science that is fueling it. And that alone is helping raise awareness and maybe even bring some resistance, correct?
Exactly. And I think when Americans realize that communism knew that it could never take over in this country with a typical the oppressed and the oppressor, because we have wealth creation in this country, people can be in a, poverty, grow up in poverty, be in poverty and work themselves out. They had to use something else, and that's why they're using the environment as the way to get people to voluntarily give up their private property rights. This CO2 capture, carbon capture, it's a scam. And CO2 is the gas of life. It's not a poisonous, noxious gas. Just because Obama's EPA director declared it so in December of 2009 doesn't make it so. And I think that's what people have to, you have to get to the foundation. Who's behind it? The globalists, the people with the New World Order, CFR, World Economic Forum, et cetera. And then we need to push back. And doesn't take a majority, but you do need to get involved. You cannot be just sitting on the couch anymore.
I think it's also worth mentioning that as we've reported within the last 2 weeks, North Dakota legislators, I guess they investigated, and one of the things they found was that there are Chinese backers behind Summit. I'm not sure if behind Navigator, too. Navigator has links to BlackRock, the globalist asset fund manager.
Right. And James O'Keefe just busted something this morning about who BlackRock, an interview with BlackRock. And Larry Fink does sit on the World Economic Forum board, and he is the head of Navigator. Yeah. And they are out of Texas. Oh, yeah. And they were out of Texas because people were upset. They, quote, moved their offices to Omaha, Nebraska. They didn't do anything of the sort. These people have sold their souls to this scam. And there's a lot of money involved. And unfortunately, Iowans are paying for it. And even if, may I discuss what the Iowa congressional delegation, all four of them did regarding our taxes with this scam?
Sure. We have 1 minute.
Bruce Restetter is a high funder of he's the owner of Summit Carbon Industries, and he funds a lot of the Republicans in Iowa, and they had in the debt ceiling taken out the 45Z, 45Q tax credits that would pay for this, and our four legislators, Feenstra, Hinson, Nunn, and Miller Meeks, went in and said, we're not going to vote for the Debt Ceiling Reduction Act unless you Representative McCarthy reinsert those tax credits into this debt reduction bill. And so your taxes went up because of our four legislators.
Wow. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you for keeping tabs with this. Thank you for organizing. And we're going to have you back, and we'll get Jared on here. And we're definitely going to keep our finger on this saga. This is absolutely terrifying. Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Paul.
And everyone, go to jbs.org. I believe it's under Take Action. You can put your zip code in there. You can contact the coordinator if you're interested on how to get involved, right?
Yes, please do. We need you. We need more pullers at the oars, Mr. Welch said.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Stay tuned, folks, because after the break, we'll look at the slap on the wrist that the privileged son of the president just received. We'll be right back.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence proclaims God-given rights, and we intend to protect them. Working with people like you for over 50 years, preserving freedom and building a better tomorrow. Safeguarding the Constitution by limiting government power. We are restoring liberties, educating voters, and leading the freedom movement. Join with us. United, we will defend our rights. We are all Americans. We are the John Birch Society.
Welcome back. Hunter Biden is finally being called to account for some of his crimes, year after the evidence first came to light. The Department of Justice announced Tuesday that Hunter Biden has pleaded guilty to two misdemeanor charges for failing to pay income taxes, and he'll enter into a pretrial diversion agreement regarding possession of a gun while under the influence of drugs. The charges amount to a slap on the wrist for actions that would leave anyone not as well connected as Hunter Biden facing years in prison. Left unaddressed were Biden's well-documented romps with prostitutes, not to mention his alleged influence peddling on behalf of his father, the President of the United States. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy called it a sweetheart deal, and he promised that the House investigation of the Bidens will continue. Let's watch.
My first reaction is it continues to show the two-tier system in America. If you were the president's leading political opponent, the DOJ tries to literally put you in jail and give you prison time. If you are the president's son, you get a sweetheart deal. Now, this does nothing to our investigation. It actually should enhance our investigation because the DOJ should not be able to withhold any information now, saying that because of pending investigation, they should be able to provide Chairman Comer with any information that he requires.
Clearly, Biden cronies at the Justice Department are hoping that the Hunter Biden charges and his deeply disturbing personal problems will distract the general public from the real story. The real story is the political corruption of the Bidens that Merrick Garland's DOJ and Christopher Wray's FBI cover up and willfully refuse to investigate, even as they move to indict, convict, and imprison Donald Trump to make sure that he can never again become president. Joining me for this segment is Executive Senior Editor of The New American, Steve Bonta. Steve, nice to have you, sir.
Hi, Paul. Good to be here.
So, you were discussing something very interesting yesterday. We were obviously off camera, and we were discussing a parallel of what we're seeing here today. We have these slap-on-the-wrist charges here for Hunter Biden. Meanwhile, like we said, there's a real story going happening behind the scenes, and that being this alleged treasonous behavior. This isn't the first time this may have happened, correct?
Well, I mean, it's an exact parallel, but there are some commonalities with what was going on with the Clintons back in the 1990s. So I remember well when the Clinton scandals really started to break, particularly with the Monica Lewinsky scandal. I was in graduate school at the time, and a conservative speaker, I think it was Oliver North, for those of you long memories, remember who that was. But anyway, he came to speak at our campus. And he made a very interesting point, which had never at that time really occurred to me. He said the Clintons want us to be talking about sex. They want us to be titillated and joking and giggling and talking about Monica Lewinsky and all of that because they know they can deal with that. They know that those kinds of things can be overcome. Mm-hmm. What they don't want us to be talking about are Bill Clinton's clearly treasonous dealings with communist China, what was then called Chinagate, which is a scandal that, you know, a lot of people don't remember today. But what happened in effect was that Clinton, prior to the 1996, in the run-up to his 1996 re-election campaign, accepted a large amount of illicit campaign contributions, laundered, but ultimately originating from the communist Chinese government. And in exchange for that, he appears to have been, basically made sure that the Chinese got their hands on certain key technology that they wanted, missile technology that allowed them to construct ICBMs. So he authorized. This is all laid out. This is not me making up stuff. This is laid out in a book called Year of the Rat and various other sources from the 1990s.
And that technology, yeah. It's called that gimbal technology that basically...
Well, right, the stuff that, you know, because prior to that time, the Chinese had mastered, were able to build nuclear devices that went boom, but they didn't have the delivery capability. And today, you know, 25 years later, they have hundreds of warheads mounted on ICBMs targeting U.S. Cities and military bases, which they did not have in the mid-90s. So this is serious stuff. It prompted serious talk of impeachment of Bill Clinton. But ultimately, at the time, you know, the Washington establishment, this is the idea that a president would sell out his own country for something as venal as campaign funds. No, we're not going to go there. They simply, Democrats and Republicans alike, refused to go there. Ultimately, of course, Clinton was impeached, but he got off, as we know, because it was on one count of perjury regarding the Monica Lewinsky affair, and that was dismissed as being just too trivial because everybody does this kind of stuff, the usual kind of thing. So fast forward to today, and we have a situation that is in some respects similar, although in this case it's the lurid goings-on of Hunter Biden, less those of Joe Biden per se, that have been the draw. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these videotapes of him, you know, cavorting with prostitutes and using drugs on camera and brandishing a gun and all this other crazy stuff that showed up in the Hunter Biden laptop. And again, you know, human nature being what it is, people are naturally drawn to this kind of voyeuristic stuff and tend to forget, well, but in the larger context, you know, where did he get all of those obscene amounts of money that he was blowing on prostitutes and drugs and trips to resort, all the rest of this stuff. And that's the real story. And that's the story, of course, that the FBI is fighting tooth and nail to prevent from getting out.
Yes, that seems to be the case. And it's drawing fire from the Joe Biden's actual connection to this as well. We learned from the 1023 forms that allegedly Biden is involved as well. It's not just Hunter.
Oh, sure.
17, two of the 17 calls, they're blackmail tapes, essentially, right? To make sure that they don't get screwed over there. But this is taken away from the president's involvement in what could be treasonous behavior. Would this constitute as treasonous behavior if indeed it's proven that Joe Biden took money to influence policy, American policy? Would that be considered treason?
Yes, I think particularly insofar as it concerns a country like China, which is one of the countries named. Not sure, you know, the Romanian thing quite rises to that level, or even the Ukraine thing. I don't know if those countries, you know, corrupt and kleptocratic though they be, were not necessarily avowed enemies of the United States. Communist China is. That's a matter of their official policy.
But were they considered right? that at the time when Joe Biden
absolutely.
Was vice president?
Yeah, because I mean that was also under the current leader Xi Jinping, who you know has made no secret of his objectives. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I mean we don't have time to go into that too much, but suffice to say, yeah, I think that would be true. It would certainly constitute something akin to treason. The problem is we don't often prosecute people for treason anymore. This isn't Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. For some reason, treason, you know, is considered something very hard to prove and harder still to actually imprison people for because of the nature of, politics in Washington today. But you know, another thing that comes out of this Hunter Biden saga, as it's, you know, presently, as we see it right now, is this just absolutely egregious refusal. First of all, they've been investigating this guy since probably before the Biden laptop appeared. But, you know, they've had the laptop for over 3 years now. And in that entire time, they have, you know, they've slow walked this thing very deliberately. And then after in stark contrast to the way they've been carrying out their lawfare against former President Trump. Okay, and when they finally do something, it's this incredible slap on the wrist. And there are some pop star came out today. I forget the name, and point out that he had gotten like 3 years in prison for very similar charges. Wow. So they slow walk the entire process. It takes years and years and years. They fight congressional investigators every step of the way. They don't even, leaving aside the money laundering stuff. I mean, last time I checked, consorting with prostitutes was also a crime. Maybe it's not regarded as such in Washington, D.C. anymore. But, you know, there's lots of clear evidence of that, too. And that didn't even make the list of charges, yeah. You know, lewd behavior or whatever the charge would be. So that wasn't even there because apparently it doesn't matter. Gun charges, well, you ask John Q. Public, who gets caught with an unregistered firearm or a sawed-off shotgun or something like that, if he's going to get a slap on the wrist. No, he's going to serve years in prison.
Well, he's the princeling here. He's definitely privileged, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I mean, it's absolutely egregious, all of the contrast. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. But fortunately, you know, at least the Congress says they're not, you know,
they're not going to let
House
this go.
GOP says we're not going to let this go. We're going to continue investigating the stuff that matters.
Let's hope that continues. Thank you, Steve. That's all for our news segment today, folks. For more truth behind the news, make sure to get a subscription to The New American Magazine. You can do so online at thenewamerican.com, or you can call our office at 800-727-8783, Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 Central Time. And stay tuned, because we'll be right back with more New American TV.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
The truth is hard to find, but the New American has it. Check it out at thenewamerican.com.
Next up, the John Birch Society's Christian Gomez interviews lawyer Joe Wolverton about how promoters of a modern-day constitutional convention are distorting history to win support for their con agenda. Watch.
This is Christian Gomez for the New American Magazine, and joining us today on the program is Joe Wolverton, a 20-year author for the New American Magazine and the author of 3 books. Mr. Wolverton, thank you so much for joining us today here on the program.
Thank you, Christian. Just call me Joe, please. Yeah, but I'm happy to be here. It's an honor. I really respect the work that you've done over the years.
Oh, thank you so much. So you recently wrote an article for the New American entitled Convention of States, Ad for Simulated Convention Gets History Wrong Again. So according to your article, the Convention of States is putting out another simulated convention. They did one back in 2016. Mm-hmm. But what's wrong with the history that they're using to promote this upcoming event?
Well, they say that it would be tragic, that it is the only way that this convention of states, they want to call it this amendments convention, that it's this way or nothing. It's either this way or we lose the country and the Constitution is, you know, thrown onto the scrap heap of history. And I'm reminded, a funny thing when they say that, I'm reminded of this statement by one of the anti-federalists, Cato, who said, you know, it's this way or nothing is always the argument of tyrants, right? Because that isn't true. There are ways not only within the Constitution to rein in Washington, D.C., but they put forward, and I think this is so shameful, Christian, they put forward this idea that the founding fathers supported the calling of a second convention or an amendments convention. And, you know, they say that the founding fathers, it was a tragedy if such thing didn't happen, when in reality, in my article, and I try to in every article that I write on the subject, I include words from the founding fathers with references, which is something they never do, because they love using ellipses and leaving out key parts of quotations. But I present in this article about the simulation quotations from the founding fathers, from a variety of founding fathers. I mean, varsity league, you know, varsity team guys like Madison and Washington, who warn of what would happen should there be in the future a convention called for the purpose of amendments or a second constitutional convention for fixing the problems of the Constitution. And in fact, Christian, if you read the, like, I know at the convention in 1787, on September 5th is the day that they began discussing what would become, you know, Article 5. And one of the things that they all said, even people on any different, who took any different avenue with regard to the argument of Article 5 and amending the Constitution, they all warned, well, we know what's going to happen. The idea is going to be that someday the, you know, the federal government, people who occupy the offices of the general government are going to want to grasp for power, you know, seize power from the states. So they knew exactly what the trajectory was, right? And they warned that should we someday try to rein in the federal government through the use of, like what Madison in the article, he says in a letter to George Nicholas, who I think is probably a forgotten founding father, but he says, Madison says, conditional amendments or a second general convention will be fatal. And if you read the entirety of that letter, he explains you're going to have special interests. You're going to have men who do not have a disinterested desire to improve and shore up and strengthen the Union. Rather, they're going to want to make a constitution in their own image, as it were. And for the COS people who are holding this simulated convention, and they go on and on about how it will be so tightly controlled because we will have rules and we will have an express authority for what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. And there's no way it become a runaway convention. Well, the convention in 1787 had rules and express authority for what they were allowed to do and not allowed to do. And day one blew right through those. Now, we were lucky that we had men like James Wilson and James Madison and George Washington. You know, we're lucky that we had those men present at that convention. We're not going to have guys like that present at a second convention, right? Even the most conservative notion of who might attend, I would hesitate to give the keys to the convention to those guys. Right?
Well, they say they're going to have a reenactor who plays George Washington there. So maybe there's some hope.
That I thought was so funny because they said that they bragged about it, right? They said, we're going to have the guy that plays Washington at Colonial Williamsburg. He's going to be there. Now, my thought when I read that, I thought, is this guy, this colonial actor from, you know, the actor who plays Washington at Colonial Williamsburg, is he going to quote words that George Washington actually said about a convention of states? Or is he going to make up a story of something Washington, pretending Washington supported such a thing? Because we actually have a letter written by Washington to Lafayette, wherein he says, some respectable characters have wished that the states, after having pointed out whatever alterations and amendments may be judged necessary, would appoint another convention to modify it upon these documents. For myself, I have wondered that sensible men should not see the impracticability of that scheme. The members would go fortified with such instructions that nothing but discordant ideas could prevail. He knew that there would never be a second group of men endowed with the wisdom and the virtue and the experience that was present there in the State House of Philadelphia in 1787. He knew that, and this was a year later, and he already knew that the men who would attend that convention would go there with an idea and would be recalcitrant and would not compromise. And we would come out with something that did not, you would not recognize as having been born from the original Constitution. And so I'm curious. I want to go. I want to see whether the Washington reenactor mentions that, well, as George Washington, I opposed a convention of states, an amendments convention, or if he gets up there and, as the convention of states people are so wont to do, warp the words of the founders to suit their own selfish ends.
Of course, the event is open to the public. The one can register on the COS website to watch the event. I believe it will be on a Friday when that occurs. But the last time they did this, they said it was a success, that it wasn't a runaway convention. Of course, it's just a simulation. They don't have the power to actually amend the U.S. Constitution. It's a bunch of legislators playing pretend, like students doing a mock United Nations in high school or college. But what do you expect to come out of this simulated convention, having seen the results of the first simulated convention, 2016? Is this going to be a bipartisan effort that would reflect the reality of the makeup of the state legislatures? Are we expected to see only COS legislators? What do you think will come out of this simulated convention and the spin that Meckler and company will then use to market it in their favor?
Well, I think that's what it is. It's just a glorified commercial for a convention of states. There, it's not going to be any sort of even approximation of something that might actually happen, because they know that this is their opportunity to prove to Americans that such a convention would be safe. And the fix is in, Christian, right? They know what they want to have happen, and they are going to assure it happens because they are paying millions of dollars to put on this kabuki show, right? So they know what's going to happen. And for example, I can predict that they would have something about, really strengthening the Second Amendment so that people, good, well-intentioned, patriotic people will say, oh, if we had that, we could strengthen. And they will have something about term limits, and they will have something about, you know, really harsh and strict words of amendments that rein in the federal budget and prevent Washington from putting, you know, getting us into $25 trillion in debt. They will have this, but it will be sound and fury signifying nothing, because it's just a charade, it's just a play, and it's a commercial. And they will structure it in such a way that people who are undecided or who really would see Washington reined in are going to see, whoa, look at this convention. They did a mock convention and it worked so well to strengthen the Second Amendment, to rein in the spending, the taxing and spending, to keep career politicians from sitting in Washington for 40 years. Wow, this is something we really should support. And that's the purpose of it. But we have the opportunity going forward, and I hope this article and others written until that time demonstrate to people this is just a show. It's a commercial. It is just meant to trick people, to convince them to buy what the COS people are selling. And unfortunately, if there were to actually be a convention, not a simulation, it would be almost impossible to control the outcome of that convention. And I would go so far as to guarantee that the document produced by that convention would bear very little resemblance to the document produced in the first convention in 1787.
Well, we'll see if Mark Meckler makes this simulation as realistic as possible, and if he invites Governor Gavin Newsom to its end.
There you go. I'm sure he will.
Thank you so much again for your time, Joe. It was always, as always, it is a pleasure to speak with you and to get your take on the Convention of States, or the Kabuki of States, actually. Yeah. So take care and God bless.
Thank you, Christian. You too. Appreciate you.
freedom is the cure.
You're dead on. This is the largest experiment performed on human beings in the history of the world.
The more you know.
What they're doing is they're forcing vaccination on people, and I believe they are killing people with this vaccination.
The freer you are.
It's murder. They are basically murdering people in hospitals.
The all-cause mortality, we know, is now higher in the vaccinated group than the unvaccinated group.
Stay informed on the issues that affect freedom. Get a subscription to The New American today, thenewamerican.com.
To complete today's show, the John Birch Society's Lisa Von Geldern interviews Tom Munns, the JBS field coordinator from Idaho, about what's happening in that state in the fight to preserve and restore our liberties.
Hello, everyone. This morning, I have for you Tom Munns, who is the John Birch Society field coordinator for Idaho. Tom has been working for us as a field coordinator for 9 years. He is a statesman, he's bright, and he's a straight talker. Tom, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
So I want to talk to you this morning about what's going on in Idaho, because I know there's some considerable fights in the legislature, and the Republicans are making a big stink about some things. So why don't you take it away and give us an update?
Sure. You tell me when to stop.
Okay.
Well, the common perception is that Idaho is the most desirable place on the planet to live, apparently in America. So everybody's flocking here. And so we have traffic and high, you know, taxes and things like that, that everybody else is dealing with. But the one thing that people are really dismayed by once they get here is the fact that they should have done some research before they moved here to be able to understand exactly what's happening. So what we've witnessed over the last 20 years that I've been active in this state is exactly how bad Idaho really is. I did a YouTube video once. It got 25,000 hits on, is Idaho really the best place to live? Wow. So some of the things that we've been dealing with in my 20 years really is a governor, several governors that have supported climate change. They're both heavily in support of government education. Our current governor now is in support of climate change. Our past governor was in support of something that kind of left the internet somehow. And they were called foreign trade zones, something that the John Birch Society covered years ago. The Idaho governor, Otter, wanted to give 30,000 acres to the communist Chinese just south of the airport.
So wait a minute. Idaho is not the conservative paradise we've been led to believe. I can't escape there and get away from globalism and progressivism.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I encourage people, if you've been active at all, to reconsider and start educating yourself on where you're going to live and what the political landscape looks like before you go there. Because, you know, as you and I know, Lisa, freedom is something that is under assault in a big way. People believe that being active is just some kind of a choice. Well, I think maybe I'll be active today, and I think maybe I'll go down to the GOP meeting. You know, they don't have the mindset that most of us have, where this is an absolute war for the soul of the future of humanity. That's exactly
war.
The way it is. If we do not understand it to that degree, we will never win this war. And so our job, of course, is to be able to educate people that openly admit to not being educated. So it's not like I'm calling people dumb, but to help people and give people the tools that they need to be able to understand exactly what's going on. We've had a con fight going on here. Dale Pierce, our former coordinator that had been a coordinator here for 25 years, has been instrumental in that fight. I've been in the fight for 9 years. Mark Meckler is so frustrated. He can't even stand it because he believes he finally just said, well, we're going to win the convention of states with or without Idaho. And what the real irony is, and this is kind of where we go into the weeds on this, is Mark Meckler in his inconsistent statements will say things like, well, there's really nothing that we can do. Voting isn't really going to work and all of that. But this legislative session, we had 33 new legislators. And his argument for the fact that the COS might pass this year is the fact that we had 33 new legislators. So If you could see the inconsistency in the argument, it's ridiculous. You know, the GOP, and we don't get involved in politics, you know, at least political candidates and things of that nature. But the GOP has literally called out the Democrats to save their state from right-wing extremism. Now, right-wing extremism is popping up in Idaho almost every single day. There are new establishment groups like Idaho Leaders United that started, the conservative, there's several other conservative groups that have like ex-sheriff Gary Rainey, the Brigadier General for the State Guard or the National Guard. I mean, some of these high power, Tommy Ahlquist that ran for governor. We've got woke corporations that are entrenching themselves, aligning with government schools, defending the LGBT agenda. We've got gender policies in state schools, porn literacy in libraries. We've got, you know, central committee establishment, central committees, statewide that are infighting over the bylaws and about processes rather than fighting on this war. And one of the, and so we've, I also found out just recently in talking to my mail carrier, I said, why is USPS work on Sunday? He says, because we actually do the bidding for Amazon. Now, anybody that's not a Bircher won't really understand that because we look at that clearly as a public-private partnership. But if the private organization is running our government agency, we've got a huge problem and it's not anybody's radar.
Right.
We've got the police and sheriffs. We've got uninformed legislators. You know, we had the baby Cyrus issue out here. We made national news with the CPS. We've got Pride Month this month. It's weird.
Isn't pride the first sin of the seven deadly sins?
Well, it's just, you know, we could even talk about the significance of the rainbow,
right?
In the fact that God, you know, said that he wouldn't flood the earth again. But the whole point of that was after the abolition of Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe, if I remember right. So it's like, or just an overall punishment of man's sin that we decided that we were going to do anyway. But we're in a really your situation here in Idaho. I've wanted to be able to jump on with you for so long to be able to tell you, look, Idaho really needs to be on the radar so that people can understand exactly the assault that we're facing in Idaho so that we can actually not only protect the people that live here from too many people moving here. So I've got my self-serving interest, right? But to no, really, seriously, though,
people need to know how to take action.
They
to
do.
Fight. And the problem is they think joining the GOP or joining the Tea Party and having a discussion about how terrible everything is taking action. And that's not taking action. Joining the John Birch Society and becoming an active chapter member under you and your direction and guidance in Idaho is going to be one of the most effective tools people can have to protect and preserve our founding principles and their state and their county and their city from the onslaught of Agenda 2030, ICLEI, all of the organizations and the NGOs arrayed against us.
Yeah,
people don't know that the government is coming for their private property.
Well, and I like to say that they're coming for you. They're coming for you. They're coming for your children. They're coming for the future of this country, and they're coming for they're coming for humanity. They're really, this is a global effort. It's, you know, I always say that if there's a creator, you know, if there's a creation, there's a creator. Well, if the God created the heavens and the earth, then who created globalism? Well, you know, we've got the oligarchs that have created the idea to be able to advance globalism, you know, and subdue the entire earth. These people are trying to become gods unto themselves. And like I said before, with people focusing on the GOP issues, what the problem that they're facing is, well, put it to you this way. So to the simpletons, you know, and I don't mean that out of disrespect, but to the people that are just new to trying to figure out how to make it all work, I would have to ask you this question. What is the GOP, the purpose of the GOP for? You know, I was in forums in the GOP and not anybody in that room can answer it. The purpose of the GOP is to be able to maintain and grow party control. That's what it's for. So all of the efforts are joined to be able to raise money. So if that's true and everybody's involved in the GOP and we have people that admit to being uninformed, where does that education component come in? Well, typically as an informed electorate, our founders believe that we should be educating ourselves on our own, but we don't do that anymore because we're too radically emotional and not intellectual enough. So we can't seem to separate the emotion from the argument. If we can't do this and we can't intellectualize and we can't start, you know, understanding that I always say the four pillars of the stool, I think, is what I say. You know, the John Birch Society focuses on history. We focus on current events. It's so cool that we talk about those because we can interlink those two to be able to show when the mistakes of history are being remade.
Yes.
We talk about everything from a constitutional worldview, from an original intent view of our founding fathers, and we focus on the most important critical element than any other before, because we have to know ourselves and we have to know our enemy, is the John Birch Society has prided itself, at least I do, on the advancement of people's understanding of the conspiracy. Because if you don't know your enemy and you can't spot an abuse, you are going to be totally ineffective because you're not going to know who to fight.
And you're going to be a victim to them. You're going to be a victim
exactly
to them.
Right. That's exactly
right. And they're going
right.
to chew you up and make you into fertilizer because your carbon, your carbon body is harming the environment, right?
Yeah, well, that's okay, because Klaus Schwab says we're going to merge our biological, digital, and, you know, identities and so on. So it'll be really interesting to see all that plays out. But, you know, Compass has a meeting tonight. And for the people that don't know, Compass is an NGO. They are a regional planning association. So forget about the three branches of government and the accountability aspect. I expect them to be able to utilize the Delphi technique, which is a predetermined
planned consensus.
Outcome.
Yes. I used to go in and fight
exactly
those
right,
meetings
right?
in the Bay Area, one Bay Area, sustainable Bay Area. I asked a woman one time, we were supposed to be voting with little clickers, but we didn't know yes. who was counting the votes. They had four predetermined outcomes up on the screen. And I asked someone, what does that one mean? If I vote yes on that, does it mean this or that? And she said, oh, it means what you think it means. I said, I need to know what you think it means so I know how to vote. And she said, well, if you don't want to vote on it, don't. And they mowed right past me and kept going. It was mind-blowing.
It is. And so I think with Idaho, when I start looking at activism and things, the John Birch Society is plays a crucial role around the country, in communities around the country, around the world, you know, wherever we are. But we have a really good opportunity, and I have to be very careful when I say this, is the John Birch Society literally has been one of the Republican Central Committee meetings that we wrote about in the New American or in our monthly bulletin was a particular Central Committee in North Idaho. Well, they are like the best thing to all of the other central committees, right? They want to be able to emulate this county, right? But the one thing that they don't realize is that they've been taken over by Birchers. And so when people say, so, you know, when we have the separation of church and state, right, we get the separation of JBS because we don't get involved in politics as in,
we
you
welcome
know,
Democrats, Democrats like Larry McDonald.
Yes, exactly.
We're coming up but, on the 40th year anniversary of KAL 007.
Yeah, we are. Yes, we are. I wonder how many people know that. But so we're in a really prime opportunity now, since people are so focused on the GOP. We could literally grow a constitutional party if people would just emulate and infiltrate the party with constitutional principles, with the ability to be able to educate their people that are so concerned. They, you
yes.
know, Charlie Kirk came here, for example, and there were 700 people. And people go to these events and they leave the events and they think, well, I've done my patriotic duty. You know, I went and I listened to Lieutenant Governor, or I listened to the governor, or I listened to this or that or the other. I went to Charlie Kirk. But, you know, you and I can attest to the fact that the groups of people that we speak to are much smaller than that. And the reason why is that people are, you have to ask yourself as a coordinator, a lot of these sort of, you know, psychological questions, if you will, because that's really what we're dealing with, is when you're reaching out to people, you have to understand where they are so that we can take them where we hope that they
want to go. A small, tireless
right?
minority.
That's exactly right. That's exactly. You're
a
so
small,
succinct.
Small, tireless
I'm so
minority.
Not, and I'm sorry. Yeah. But I mean, those are the kinds of things that we need to do. And we need to try to find a way not to be frustrated about it. You know, when you become active, it's very frustrating. It's very heavy on your heart. It's very heavy on your soul. So there's a lot, and I don't want to overwhelm people and detract them from, you know, or distract them from becoming active. But what it also helps you do is become human. It helps you become an American. Tom, it helps you become a Christian.
I have to invite you back because we've gone way over time and I've totally enjoyed it. I just love your passion and the work you do. And you're absolutely right. People in Idaho, reach out to Tom Munns. You can contact your coordinator at jbs.org. And if you are not in Idaho or his territory, you'll find another coordinator equally passionate and hardworking. Just go to jbs.org and look for contact your coordinator. Tom, thank you for being on today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The New American TV. And remember to visit thenewamerican.com for more truth behind the news. We will see you tomorrow.
Imprisonment, forced labor, permanent separation from my family, perhaps death. I knew what could happen to people who were caught trying to defect, but the watchtowers stood yards away. The possibility of a new life in a different world, one without tyranny, was within sight. The West. I thought of the rewards no longer crushed under the boot of communism. I would work and make money, no longer restrained by the chains of collectivism. I would say what I wanted, without fear of spies and informants nearby. I would be free. The frozen rain and Romanian mud seeped from my gloves and cloths. I fantasized about a fire burning in the wood stove of my parents' home. But I pushed those thoughts from my mind, closed my eyes, and waited for the cover of the darkness.
Get Defector, a true story of tyranny, liberty, and purpose by Mark Hobovkovich with Paul Dragoo, a thrilling page-turner that will remind you how precious yet vulnerable freedom is. Available at shopjbs.org or Amazon. For a limited time, get 20% off your entire order using promo code DEFECTOR20 when you purchase DEFECTOR at shopjbs.org.